Good morning. So my name is Megan Rush. I am the Associate Pastor of Discipleship here at Columbia Grove. And we are in a series called Balancing Act, Discovering True Balance at Work, Home, and Everywhere Else. And that has included boundaries and spiritual gifts. And spoiler alert, if you haven't been there, God needs to be that first priority in your life. And in my small little brain, every time I see discover true, fill in the blank, for some odd reason, I go to those magazines at the grocery store. Has anyone seen those? And I actually have a head of subscription to one almost every year. The ones that always promise me that I'm going to lose 30 pounds by Thanksgiving. And of course I get sucked in, because who doesn't want to lose 30 pounds in a month, right? And some of the, like that one, I can drop 19 pounds in a week, right? Yes! And every single time on these magazines, there's always these really delectable, pull-out, awesome cheesecake recipes. And I'm not a really big sweets eater, because I'm more the salty eater. But if I'm going to eat a sweet, it's going to be a cheesecake. And it's always research-bound, right? So, I mean, someone finally figured out how I can lose 30 pounds in a month eating cheesecake. And I'm guessing, Andrew, am I wrong? Somehow there's got to be fruits and vegetables in that somewhere, right? Yeah, no, okay. So, but there's research on this. 500% fat reduction, okay, or burn more than 500% fat on some of these, and I can lose 30 pounds in a month, so this must be true. And I get sucked into these magazines, and I buy them. I bought this one. And I don't know how many times that I have been sitting in front of my husband and I've decided to do a diet, and I'm a week and a half into this diet and I'm telling him how good I've been doing, and I'm eating a cheeseburger, fries, and a milkshake. And I've told him that I'm doing so well and I don't understand why I'm not seeing any results, and he's just going like this. And he knows better. He knows not to open his mouth, right? And yet, I want the results, and I want them now, but I want this long-term success, because it's not just about losing weight. It's about my health and the goals that I have, but I want them right now. Because it's the thoughts in my head, it's these daily habits that really are what I'm searching after. And it's these choices that I'm making, because I'm not a victim to this food that I'm eating. It's not just falling into my mouth, even though sometimes I think that. Who ate all of the potato chips? And I'm trying to blame everybody in my house, but the reality is I didn't allow anyone to actually eat any of the chips out of the bag. I ate all of them. I'm not a victim to the bag being gone. I made a choice. And in one of these magazines, actually, I did find something really interesting. It had some choices. It had a this or that solution that actually made a little bit of sense. Carl, that earring is really distracting. If you haven't seen Carl's earrings flashing at me. Okay, back to it. A this or a that. So either I can choose in my diet to actually go for the long-term solution, instead of me deciding that for 2 weeks I'm going to do this one, or for 30 days I'm going to do this one, and I can't wait for the 30 days to be over because I'm going to eat my cheesecake then. I want the lifelong solution. I'm going to make these daily habits of choices. This for that. Instead of eating the greasy French fries, I'm going to choose the sweet potato fries that are baked. Instead of the M&Ms, I'm going to choose the almonds. Instead of the Lay's potato chips, this one's hard on me, I'm going to choose the cheese and the pretzels. This or that. These changes that I choose, because, again, I'm not a victim to what my choices are. If I actually want the long-term transformation in my health, I actually have to make those choices. And this is not that much different with our thoughts, my friends, because the greatest battles that we fight are invisible. Because the greatest battles that we fight are in our mind. Because our thoughts, and many of us have heard this, and there's a reason why we revisit this over and over, is because getting out of our daily habits, enter into our comfort zones or our drifts. For many of us, and I'm saying that, I have a friend. Cheeseburgers or French fries, I'm going to admit, my French fries and my potato chips are my drift or my comfort zone. Every once in a while, having French fries is fine, but when I find myself having them every single day, it's not good for my health. It's not good for my long-term goal of healthy eating habits. But when I find myself there, I know I'm off track. The same with my thoughts. When a thought enters my mind, I am not a helpless victim to that either. A thought turns to an emotion, which turns to a thought, turns to an action or a behavior. We are not a victim to our thoughts either. And come along with an example with me for a minute. How many of you drove here this morning? Or were a passenger in a car? Okay, I drove here too, and I live a block away. I shouldn't admit that, but I have heels on, and it's a long walk down that hill. Okay, how many were in a passenger this week or drove in a car this week? Okay, all right. All right, so you're driving on the road, minding your own business. You're great drivers, right? All of you are pretty great drivers. Okay, you don't do anything wrong, right? So you're driving on the road, and all of a sudden, someone pulls in front of you, just cuts you off, completely cuts you off. Cuts you off so bad that you have to slam on your brakes. And so, like, your steering wheel, like, you almost hit the steering wheel, kind of cuts you off. Your seatbelt tightens, that kind of, you know. And you have a thought that crosses your mind. Don't say it out loud. And let me guess what it is, okay? I'll say it out loud. Man, something must have happened at home. They must have an emergency. There's an emergency. That's what happened, right? There's an emergency at home. I feel bad for them. There's my emotion. I feel bad for them. I'm going to pray. There's my action. I'm going to pray for them right now as I'm readjusting my seatbelt, putting myself back together, putting my hair back, you know, making sure everybody in my car is okay. Is that what you did? Yeah? Yeah, I see you. Or, option B, the thought, which I'm not going to say out loud. Can I get some nods? Because I think option B was probably, yeah, I knew that already. Option B was probably a little bit more negative, right? You bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Okay. Emotion was probably what? Right, anger. Which anger is actually a secondary emotion. So what was the primary emotion? Fear. Probably fear, right? You were afraid. You were afraid that, you know, your brand new car was going to get a scratch. Possibly. You were afraid for the people in your car. Someone was going to get hurt. Completely understandable, right? And then your action. What happened with your action? Okay, maybe you were angry. Maybe you let it go. But more than likely, some people probably did a little road rage. I'm going to cut them off. They cut me off. I'm going to go cut them off. I'm going to give them some hand motions. Okay, it's probably not a, hey, how are you? Okay, right? There's probably some stuff that went along with that. Possibly you went to your coworker. When something negative happens, you usually tell 7 people. You're telling them, and the story probably got a whole lot bigger, right? Maybe you even went home and it went, went to your family, you're throwing some things around. It probably got all the way down. Can you see where your thoughts spiraled? A thought comes across your head, comes through. You attach an emotion and a behavior or an action goes through it. It happens all day long. Now, you can't stop the thoughts. I will give it that. I love the term chatterbox because it's almost like a ticker tape parade that goes through here, right? Some of us, probably me, more than most people. We can't necessarily stop that, but you have choices. You're not a victim to those thoughts either. Because your thoughts come through here, and you get to choose what you do with your thoughts and how you filter those thoughts. You can stop them and make a choice, this or that. And we all come through with our thoughts with a whole lot of baggage and a whole lot of time and a whole lot of imprints from a whole long time ago. And we have to decide what we're going to do with those when we stop and are self-aware of what to do with those. Because we also live in a society that tells us that if you feel it, it's true. And if you think it, it's true. Just take a look at Facebook. If it's on Facebook, it's true. If it's on social media, it's true. If one of your best friends posted it and you trust them, it's true. So where do we filter what's true and what's right? Where do we filter that through? Because here's a little secret, my friends. We truly have a battle for our minds. And there is an enemy who wants to keep you locked up in him. In the lies, he wants to twist them. He wants to keep it right where you are. Because if you keep thinking in a negative pattern, if that's where it's at, or if he keeps thinking that you're not worthy, some of the, I loved the redeemed, because if he keeps making you think that you're not worthy, that you can't do something, if he keeps you locked in different places that you haven't brought to the light, keeps you in shame, you won't do what's glorifying to God. You'll be kept in places forever. He wants to twist the truth for you. And it's a battle that he will win instead of you. So where and how do we win this battle? And today we're going to be looking at, and if you would like to open up your Bibles today. Oh, thank you, Lauren. The Apostle Paul had a whole lot to say. And actually throughout the whole Bible, there's over 100 scripture verses that tell us quite a bit about. Come on down. It's like The Price is Right. The Apostle Paul actually writes quite a bit in his letters on the mind and our thoughts. Scripture, like I said, actually speaks more than 100 different ways on our thoughts and our words, because these are life's greatest battles. And today we're going to be in Philippians 4. We're going to be in 4 through 8. And our main passage is going to be Philippians 4, 8, because this is where we're going to land, because this is where we're going to learn to filter our thoughts through, where God's going to show us that we need to filter our thoughts through things that are true and right and noble. And today I would ask you, would you stand for the word of God today? And I would ask, feel free to take whatever position you would like. If you'd like to keep your eyes open, if you'd like to close your eyes, if you'd like to have your hands out, but let this word wash over you, whether it's the message that God put on my heart to share with you today, or if it is the message that he has for you today. But hear the words of the Apostle Paul, spoken by one of our youth leaders, Lauren Thompson.
Philippians 4, 4 through 8.
Turn it on? No.
Ow. Oh, ow. Okay. All right, there we go. Okay, Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Awesome. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. We read in verse 6. Oh, feel free to have a seat. Thank you. Actually, I just have you stand the whole time. Now sit. Stand. I grew up Catholic. Now stand. Now sit. Kneel. I love these verses because do not be anxious. So it's this or that. We make the choice, right? Prayer or anxious? Peace of God that transcends all understanding. When we take our thoughts captive, when we take these thoughts and we stop and we choose what we're going to do with the thoughts, the product of this is a peace and contentment that transcends all understanding. But first, we have to filter these thoughts through what God's word says. In verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. It seems so easy, but when we have so many thoughts going through our heads constantly, how do we do it? My advice, take one thought at a time. What about one thought that you find yourself over and over again struggling with? Take the one. Is that thought true? Is that thought from God? Is that thought right or lovely? These words in red. Paul, writing this letter to the church at Philippi, they would have understood these words as Greek moralist words or words that the philosophers would have written. And they would have known those as words of culture, pagan words. But yet here, Paul used those as words that were God's words. That even though they were part of culture, they're set apart. We are still set apart, even though that we're still in the culture. We can still use these words of God to filter our thoughts through him, through the Holy Spirit. Because we have our thoughts that we use, our thoughts that turn to behaviors, that get attached to emotions, that we have to become aware of. And a lot of times we don't even understand that what we're doing throughout our lives. Because our long-term success actually comes from becoming aware. It's just like our long-term plan of losing weight or having healthy goals that are drift we don't recognize. When we find ourselves in our daily lives wondering why things happen or our interpersonal relationships, we all walk around in our bubbles and we're offended by this or this person hurt our feelings, or we're wondering why we're having this problem or this. When we become aware of where is our peace and our contentment, we start to understand where are our thoughts. Sometimes we have to actually start from where our behaviors are and move them backward. Paul writes just in another one of his letters in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Taking it captive makes it submissive to Christ. So how goes your thought life? If you look over the past week, the past month, have you found yourself anxious or angry? Have you found yourself in a thought pattern, feeling like a failure, unworthy? Are the things that come up in your life that you thought you've taken care of, but it's time to revisit? Are there places in your work or your school, in your relationships, that you have to revisit? Because this is a process, and process isn't always perfection, right? It's why we have to revisit it often. And a lot of times, the voices that we hear or in our thoughts are voices we've heard for a really long time. I can't help but think, even when we think about our healthy choices or our needs to be on a diet or healthy choices, that sometimes even things like that or places that we're holding back or we don't think God can use us in different ways, the places that we get held back, our insecurities, are actually voices that we've heard for a really long time and we've actually never let the light in. We've never let Jesus actually into those places. And maybe today is a day that we can actually take a look at them. Because the thoughts that come through our head are voices that we still haven't let Jesus in the Holy Spirit, to take those captive. Because again, the enemy wants this battle. Because if he can get your thought life, he can twist the truth and he can stay in there and win this battle. Because some of these voices that you still hear have been there a long time. Maybe a simple example. I've had friends tell me that they feel like they get sabotaged when they're on a diet. That they start to eat well for about a week and a half, and then they find themselves eating the whole bag of potato chips. But then suddenly a thought goes in the head, and they remember in fourth grade the guy on the playground that called him fat. It's a place that they need to let go and give it to Jesus. Because this thought and then the emotion and the action is something I can teach in counseling all day long. It's basically behavioral modification, right? And you can replace the negative thought with a positive thought, and it'll all stream out, but only Jesus can actually heal this. Because he's the one that's going to take these thoughts. Because there's places of dark in all of us that we need to let out into the light. The places of shame, the places of healing. There's places that we haven't let anyone in, where someone's left us, someone's abandoned us, someone's hurt us. There's things that we have done. There is things that were done to us that we did not deserve, and we do not need to carry anything further than the cross. And we've been carrying it way too long, my friends. Whether that's rejection or hurt or family secrets or family peace, it's time that we let it go. And we've been condemned, and we've been condemning ourselves. And if we truly believe that God made you and God made me, and then he loved us so much that he sent his son, that he can die the most horrible death because he loved us so much, but yet all those dead places can come alive because of him, because he rose from the dead, and all of it's right there on that cross. He can take all of these places and change them into something new and something beautiful. We just have to give them over to him. And our thoughts, and our it seems so simple, but it takes a daily habit of letting him in and giving him to him and letting him renew and transform us. But it has to be a daily habit, And we have to hand them all over to him in the first place and let him renew us. It isn't any coincidence that in the same passage, a couple verses down, many people's life verse, if you would turn to Philippians 12 through 13 and read it with me. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Would you say it with me? I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Friends, this battle for your mind is a journey, and it's a choice to choose Jesus to heal you, to choose this, not that, to be replaced in your thoughts with joy and peace and contentment that transcends all understanding. And when you're there and when you understand, you live it and you're the person driving down the road, and when they flash in front of you, you pray, right? Maybe not always. It's not perfection, it's progress, right? Because could you imagine if we're all walking around in our bubbles and we're bouncing off of each other, but yet our thought process is for everyone else and not against? When our thoughts are to be loving and to care, that we take those thoughts captives and we think to be true and to noble and to be right, to those thoughts to be pure and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy and righteous, that we can sit content and loving in us as a church, that we're looking to build each other up and not tear each other down, and the church as a whole is known for what we are for and not what we are against. And our community comes together and this world changes. Can you even imagine what that actually looks like? Can you? Do you think that's what we are now? That we're not offended, but we love? That the song, they will know we are Christians by our love, is true? Can you imagine? We can do it. And this battle is a battle, but we can conquer it. And it starts with our thoughts. In your bulletin today, there is a truth sheet. I was going to call it a battle cheat because you know that's true. And friends, this is something to pull out. I'm not a helpless victim to my thoughts. I have control over what I think and how I think about them. And my thoughts influence my emotions. Just because I feel it does not mean it's true. Even though it feels like it, I might feel like that cheesecake every single day. This is a way of being able to bring it back every single day. Have an accountability partner. Put an alarm on your phone. But to be able to filter your thoughts through. Because being able to live in peace and joy and anxiety beats everything else of how you can live. As the worship team comes up, and when we enter into a time of prayer, I would just ask as you bow your heads, if there is places in your life that it's time to allow the Holy Spirit in, places that have been in the dark that need to come to the light, that there are places that it's time for Jesus to shed light, the Holy Spirit to come in. Would you raise your hand so we could be praying for you today? Awesome. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. So friends, would you pray with me today? Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, just so that we could come before you to be aware of our thoughts, how much our thoughts influence our lives, how much you have done for us, that all of our condemnation, all of our shame, our hopes, our everything, Lord, that you are in. Father, thank you for being a part of everything. And Lord, that we thank you that we can come to you with all the places that have been dark, that you bring life into death. Thank you for being our Savior. And Father, I just pray that our thoughts would be of you, that we could take every thought captive, that we could choose and change, and that the peace that transcends all understanding would be upon us. And we pray these things in your Son's name.